Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Tarana Assistant Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, Marjorie Rawl, and we're going to be talking about the exhibition, The Big Picture, Giant Photographs and Powerful Portfolios on View from September 26th to June 6th, 2021.
Okay.
Marjorie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I have a distinct sense of deja vu.
Yeah.
Now, this is a huge photography show, and it's actually two shows in one. It's Giant Photographs and Powerful Portfolios. So let's start with the Giant Photographs. These are really big. I mean, they're ones that you're talking about. You really have to walk along the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get back far enough in order to see the whole thing?
Yes, you can. We have some pretty large galleries, so you can get both the far back and the up-close experience of these giant photographs.
What was amazing is the number of photographers that you have in this giant photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're all giant, you can't. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed you can fit this many photographers in there.
Yeah. We have some pretty big gallery spaces. So it's about 23 photographs.
We'll talk about each of those in a minute, but I want to talk about the process about this. Are these digital photographs?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's part of it, is you have to have these really, really advanced cameras that can take an image that you can print at these large sizes, and then you have to have these very fancy digital printers that will produce the print for you.
What are they actually printed on? They're not printed on paper, right?
They are on paper. A lot of them are on paper. Some of them are on things like aluminum and things like that. But yeah, many of them are on paper.
Do they present special conservation challenges? I know photography in itself presents a whole set of conservation challenges. Do these big photographs?
Yeah, they present the same conservation challenges as normal photography, being that they're very light sensitive, so you can't have them on view for very long.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, just the fact that there are these large, unwieldy sizes, storage yes. becomes an issue, and things like that. So definitely, and yeah, they're challenges in many ways.
Sometimes I wonder if artists just create works to give conservation people a headache.
To give museums and conservators a headache. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure people are thinking about, but they wouldn't dare ask. So how are they shipped? They're not shipped completely in one piece, are they?
Yes, a lot of them are. We actually, before we hung the show, there was this big crate that we had in one of our storage areas, and it took about four of us just to get the crate on the ground, pop the top of the crate off. Some of them are shipped framed. A lot of the frames are super heavy, and they're just fully shipped to our door, and we're like, oh, great. Here they are.
And not only that, you have to ship them back out at the end of the show.
Actually, this is a permanent collection show. These are all our photographs.
Wow. Well, I want to mention
part of the reason we're having the show is because
good.
It is a challenge right now to be borrowing works. You know, what if we have to close the museum again and we trap borrowed works in here and we can't ship them out, we can't return them, things like that. So we thought now is really the time for an exploration of the permanent collection.
And I want to mention that the Fitchburg Art Museum has an incredible photography collection. I think thanks and a lot to Steve Jarecki, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And thanks a lot to some major donors over the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of these photographs have come from one donor in particular, Dr. Anthony Tarana, who's given us over 500 photographs.
Wow.
And actually, all of these photographs that we're showing in the big picture, none of them have been seen before. So we've had these photography shows, recently, and we still have this sort of backlog of stuff that the public has never seen before, because that's how, quickly and expansively we're growing our photography collection. So we're really excited for this show.
Now, one of my criticisms of really big art is it's sort of like an elephant in a living room. You can get away with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just big and people will go, ooh. What do you look for aesthetically or critically when you're looking at big works? What are you hoping that they're going to do to the viewer?
What I think a lot of these photographs do that sort of gets around that kind of just surface level wow factor is a lot of them actually require you to also get up close. So it's not just that stand back and, sort of marvel at it and then you can keep moving. A lot of them have this sort of pull where there are small details or there's like this sort of mysterious quality, and then you read the label and there are some surprising factors like, oh, the image isn't what it appears to be, or there's sort of like an artifice going on, or, you know, there's a sense of aesthetic wow, but then there's this narrative pull that I think a lot, if not all of these photographs have, which I think makes it a really interesting show.
Some of them become environments. They're
exactly.
So big that you are literally part of the environment of the photograph.
Exactly.
And let's talk about some of the artists. Gil Blank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some of these artists' work. He has done large portraits photography, mm-hmm. but he's also done pictures of people floating in water. What work do we have by him?
We have actually a text-based work of,
wow.
It actually says Franklin D. Roosevelt, and so it looks like this sort of, it looks like a billboard. It's very much, it's huge. It's about, you know, 100 inches long. It's huge, and it looks like just you popped a billboard off from the side of the road and hung it in the gallery. It's very sort of stark and in your face. And then he has another one. We have two works by Gil, actually, that is a image of a B-2 stealth bomber against this very dark, sort of stark graphic red background. And so these two are working together, and they really are very graphic and very stark.
Let me ask you, how many of these are color and how many of these are black and white?
I would say most of them are color.
Okay.
think there are maybe two or three black and white ones, but a lot of them are color.
Angela Strassheim.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her do sort of things that occur in rooms that looks like they have to do with family or something like that. What piece do you have by her?
Yeah, we have two works actually on view by her. Those are two of the ones that are black and white.
By the way, I just want to stop you.
Sure.
I'm always amazed. We're dealing with these huge photographs, and you're saying we have more than one work by this enormous list of artists.
Yeah.
So your entire museum is going to just be these gigantic photographs.
About half of it. There are two other spaces in the museum where we have the powerful portfolios, and those are not large. Those are small, but there are many of them.
Okay, let's back to Angela. Angela Strassheim.
Sure. So we have two works from her series called Evidence, and she actually traveled around the country and photographed homes that had been sites of crime scenes, actually.
Oh, wow.
But so she photographs them with the sort of black light effect in the room. So you see this sort of very mundane, like a bedroom or a living room, and then you see these sort of glowing splatters on the wall, and then you're like, that's weird. And then you go up to the label and figure out that, you know, these are former crime scenes.
Wow.
So yeah, she traveled around the country photographing spaces like that.
Laura McPhee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen a photograph of hers look like an animal had been slaughtered out of doors, like it's snow and there's a lot of blood around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What is the fam showing of that of hers?
We have a work called Maddie on the Bus, and it's a girl. It's actually very feels very 2020 appropriate. She's alone on a school bus.
Oh wow!
In this sort of like wintry landscape. So Laura's photographs are very sort of mythical and tied to the landscape, and so that it has this very haunting, timely quality to it.
Eve Sussman.
Mm-hmm. We have a work, actually. It's a film still. So it's a still from an 80-minute sort of avant-garde video piece where she reinterprets the sort of the Roman myth of the abduction of the Sabine women.
Oh, right. The rape of the Sabines.
Yes, exactly. And so she takes that as her sort of film starting point, but also sets it in the 1960s. So it has this very 1960s, like Hollywood glamour aesthetic.
Oh, weird.
And yeah. And so, but it's interesting because it lives as an 80-minute film with this very dramatic sort of operatic score. And then we have like a still black and white photograph of it. So it's kind of these two different modalities. But the photograph is so powerful.
Here's a trivia question for you.
Sure.
What famous musical was based on the rape of the Sabine women?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was sort of a musical Hollywood interpretation of that same event. So I'm really eager to see her photograph. and how she updates this. Now, I'm going to unfortunately probably mispronounce his name. He's Chinese. Miao Chao Chun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that I've seen his work before. He's done sort of big landscape things that are sort of digitally. He puts digital figures in it.
Yeah, yeah. His they're photoshopped, but it's so subtle that you actually don't realize
it until you
get up close and you're kind of like, that guy doesn't look like he fits there quite enough. But yeah, we have one where it's sort of a busy street, and there's like a street vendor, but there are also these sort of archaic Chinese figures of like sculptures that would be outside of a temple. There is a man who might be a wax figure, sort of. it's very eerie once you get up close after you think you're just looking at a mundane sort of street scene, and then you sort of walk up and you're like, this doesn't seem quite right.
Now, there's James Casabir, I think, is an artist that I've known for decades, right? He's been photographing these sort of modeled landscapes.
Exactly. He's one of the
ones, and they're beautifully lit. There's something about the lighting. It's very soft and dramatic. But this is a black and white example of his work.
It's in color. But it's definitely one of the ones I was thinking of when I was sort of thinking where it pulls you in and you think one way and then you get there and you read the label and you're like, oh, this is fake. So it looks like an interior space. There's a staircase. There's a window. It looks like just a blank interior of a home that's been flooded. And then you read the label and you realize that it's actually a very small scale architectural model and the water is actually resin creating the effect of water. And it's actually not real at all. But it is
strange.
So realistic.
There's a weird feel to his work.
Definitely.
And I find it somewhat calming.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that it's artificial is sort of the icing on the cake of the fact that it's just very artificially beautiful. It's built and lit. His lighting is what makes all of his models work.
So gorgeous. Yeah, definitely.
Sarah Pickering. There's going to be a big explosion of hers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with that?
That's another one where she uses sort of small scale or like toy or sort of fake explosives and things like that they use in sort of movies or military exercises and things like that. But the way she photographs them makes them look sort of huge and quite frankly beautiful.
I know. It's funny when you look at an explosion like that big, it becomes like an object of beauty in and of itself.
Exactly. It's so, so engrossing.
Karen Bubas. Is it Bubas?
Yeah. She has this really gorgeous, very sort of Alfred Hitchcock work where the work is like 5 by 5 feet and the figure in it, the whole thing is black, pitch black, this very deep, deep darkness. And then there's a tiny woman in the corner sitting on a bench with her back to you. So basically,
Whoa.
You're just looking into this like very deep black void. You can see yourself, which is kind of interesting, more than
because of the really reflective surface of the print.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's covered in, it's framed with glass. So you can sort of see yourself in the blackness. It's very, very dark.
Now, Greg Girard, I've seen photographs of him, which have, it's sort of like the city at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it. What is in the show from him?
That one, his work is from a series he did in Shanghai, actually, and it is a city scene at night. It's sort of in this back alleyway, and you get this long shot of the foreground is sort of lit by this open doorway. There's a blurry figure standing in the doorway, and there's sort of just this kind of derelict alleyway. And then in the distance, you can see the sort of like modern Shanghai skyline. So it's got this sort of past and present conversation going on. It's really beautiful, and it's got these like really bright neon greens and pinks, and it's really electric photograph.
Now, I got to ask you about Paola Ventura, because
mm-hmm.
I've seen the photographs, and they're really odd.
This one's very odd.
It's got these weird characters in it that I'm not sure what's...
They feel like characters because they're like, again, they're models. So they're little figurines.
They are. I never knew that. Okay, that explains a lot.
That explains it.
But explain that. I mean, so she set the stage. You look like you've come in the middle of a play or a movie.
Yes, and it sort of has this sort of eerie dollhouse kind of feeling because everything is, it's very convincing at first, and then once again, when you get up close, you're kind of like, something is just not quite right. And the series of that we have a photograph from is called War Souvenir, and it's actually all sort of imaginings from his grandmother's stories of the First and the Second World Wars. So he's sort of just like telling this very dark story through these figurines and then photographing it.
Now you're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is the Tirana Assistant Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, Marjorie Rawl. And she's talking about two exhibitions in one. It's called The Big Picture. There's an exhibition called Giant Photographs, which we'll be talking about the artist. And then Powerful Portfolios. And it's going to be on view from September 26th, 2020 to June 6th, 2021. Marjorie, I want to just take a break for a minute and talk about how FAM is doing in the COVID.
Sure. We are doing well. We've been open since July 22nd. We have, you know, all sorts of new protocols. We have new gallery limits, capacity limits, so that people can stay safely spaced out.
Do people have to make reservations for a visit?
You do not. You do not. No. Come on down. You have to wear a mask. And we've seen, you know, we've had pretty decent crowds, I think, from visitation so far since July 22nd. Based on the numbers we've been recording, it seems like, you know, we're sort of at 85% capacity of what we've had in the past since, you know, comparing this summer's numbers to last summer's numbers.
Good on you.
At 85% of that. So we feel pretty good about it. We're glad people are looking to get out and come and see us.
Well, there's not a lot of else to do, too,
exactly.
So if you're open. But let me ask you some technical things. How do you manage gallery size? I mean, do you actually just go up to people and go, you got to move on?
Yes. So we have our visitor services staff who are cleaning and sort of monitoring how people are moving throughout the galleries. But we never have, you know, like huge crowds of people coming in all at once.
So it's been
pretty easy, you know, to maintain. The gallery limits are like 8 people in this gallery, 6 people in this one,
nice,
you know.
Nice.
So if it does get to be a little traffic jammy, you know, the guard just says, you know, unfortunately, you have to wait to enter this gallery, you know, things like that.
Are there going to be events around these two shows, Giant Photographs?
No, there will be some virtual programming, but in-person events.
Well, talk to me about the virtual programming. That sounds interesting.
Well, we're doing a series right now of artist interviews, artists and community members, staff members. It's called Art Matters, and I did a couple of interviews with the artists from the previous show, After Spiritualism, which has been going really well. And so
yep.
We see that as sort of a replacement for artist talks and you know, ways for visitors to engage a little bit deeper with the artists and the artworks. But in terms of things like openings and, you know,
those are the things that have gone by the wayside. Yeah,
exactly. We haven't really figured that out yet.
We're going to run out of time. I want to talk about Powerful Portfolios. Now,
sure.
That's a very different show of photography. That's
multiple absolutely.
Images that create a narrative. Explain it a little bit more.
Sure. So, we realized that in all of our, you know, photography holdings, that not only do we have a ton of giant photographs, we also have these collections of images by really well-known artists like Steve Locke, Barbara Norfleet, and we really liked the idea of combining something like a giant photograph and then these smaller photographs that have the same sort of impact because they get to have this story sort of unfold over multiple images. You know, we have a collection of anywhere from like 6 to 15 works in sort of groupings. So we like this kind of two different ways of telling stories.
Well, does that mean that each one is a narrative? That, in other words, they're supposed to be shown together, or can they be shown individually too?
It's both. So some of them, like Barbara Norfleet's, are a portfolio called Landscapes of the Cold War, where she's photographed these sort of abandoned sites in the American Southwest of nuclear testing sites. And so those are meant to be shown all together, and they sort of tell a similar story. But we have a collection of André Kertész photographs that are...
He's one of the most important photographers of the 20th century.
Exactly. And we don't have a portfolio, per se, where they all go together, but they are similar size, they're all in black and white, and they're all in his sort of like signature documentary style. So they're interesting, sort of juxtaposed next to each other, even though they're not telling, you know, one narrative.
Barbara Norfleet is always fascinating to me. She's a... Not only is she a photographer, she's a professor and social scientist.
Exactly.
So she's taking photographs for a reason, not just the artist. She's chronicling an event, too?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't become – I don't think she started photographing until she was in her sort of 40s.
Huh.
And so I think it probably came out of this impulse to study society and social science, like you mentioned, and particularly interested in like the American sort of consciousness. And so I think she was drawn to these nuclear test sites as this kind of moment that sort of fell to the wayside. And yeah.
It's interesting, the political content of some of these too, because mm-hmm. if people aren't familiar with the work of Steve Locke, mm-hmm. The Family Picture Series is really powerful.
It's very powerful, yes. And it has its own space sort of upstairs in our mezzanine area, and we're going to show all 12 of them. There's 12 in the series, and that is one that is sort of united. It tells the same narrative. All 12 of them are sort of centered around the images of violence against African Americans that exists in the American sort of domestic sphere and have existed from the beginning. There are some really difficult lynching images to look at. There are some just really horrific things that he sort of frames in this very domesticated way.
Doesn't
where they're sitting on a coffee table and framed in these sort of kind of kitschy keepsake frames, and it's really, really jarring to see.
Now, an artist I never heard of before is Kenji Nakahashi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's described as a conceptual photographer. What does that mean?
Kenji is very unique because he's one of those photographers that didn't think of himself as a photographer. So he's worked in tons of other mediums, painting, drawing, sculpture, and photography was just sort of another means to make images. And so a lot of his images are sort of visual puns where, you know, one of them is called Antenna, and it's pictures of one is a little bug with the antenna sticking up, and next to it is, you know, actual like, sort of like radio antenna. So he kind of is playing with photography, not just being a documentary tool, but also something that can be a little more idea-based or pushed in the sort of conceptual realm.
And what about Ruben Natal San Miguel?
He is an artist, actually born in Puerto Rico, but is now based in New York, and he's a street photographer. So he captures the lives of like very vibrant personalities on the street, or very his photographs are very colorful, very bright, and they really sort of capture the essence, if they're a portrait or sort of a landscape. We have this really beautiful, it's sort of the tag image for the big picture show, is this kind of really beautiful landscape of Coney Island, where you can see the roller coaster in the background and this like huge group of very colorful rainbow balloons. And so he's got this way of capturing a moment and really feeling the energy of that moment.
Now, I'm gonna trap you with this question, Marjorie.
Oh, goodness.
No, it's not gonna be that bad. But if you had one image that you said you wanted to tell people, if you go to the show, the one image you need to spend time with and you've got to see, or one or two images, and I know they're all great,
mm-hmm.
okay, but for you personally, what are the one or two images that you would tell your friends, this, you got to see these?
Got to see these. Okay, well, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to pick two.
Okay.
One from each section of the show.
Very politic. I like that.
There we go. I think there is a series of photographs by an artist called, a Chinese artist called Hong Lei. It's called Speak Memory. And it is it's a little bit of a stretch on the giant photograph theme, because it's actually six photographs that work together to create this sort of like giant scene.
Oh,
and
nice.
They're very beautiful. It's a take on sort of Chinese landscape paintings, and using motifs like pomegranates and bamboo shoots and things like that that have these very symbolic meanings in Chinese painting. But they have this really artificial sort of take on them, because he's actually hanging everything from these very subtle strings and then photographing them. So from afar, they look like these very idyllic landscape paintings. And then you get up close and you realize all of the butterflies and all of the trees are actually fake or plastic or dead, and actually hanging from these strings, kind of like a puppet show.
Wow.
And so it's just very interesting. It's very, very beautiful. Set of images.
And from powerful portfolios?
That is from Giant Photographs.
Okay, but what I thought you were going to pick one from powerful portfolios.
Okay, yes, I'm going to pick one of those too. And it's going to have to be the Steve Locke show.
So I knew it, because I've seen his work, and it's really amazing. It's really pretty powerful.
It's incredible. And like I said, yeah, it's upstairs. It's got its own sort of area, and you can really sort of immerse yourself in all 12 of these very powerful photographs.
This is an amazing show. What are you going to get back to a normal schedule, hopefully by the middle of next year?
That's what our hope is. Our hope is we close the show and we move into our normal schedule of having the regional show in the summer. And then,
oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Fingers crossed, Mark.
Now, people who've never been to the Fitchburg Art Museum before, I have to say it's my favorite art museum in central Massachusetts.
Oh, good.
And you know, people go, oh, I don't want to go to an art museum. This is the kind of show that if you feel that way, this would be the show to start with.
Absolutely. Yeah, we sort of pride ourselves on not being too, I don't know, artsy. You know,
You're artsy, but you're not an idiot about it. Let me put
exactly.
it that way. Yeah. You're not stuffy about it. It's a good show that really invites everybody.
Exactly.
And it's a very user-friendly show, and there's really cool artwork. I think that's the bottom line. And that's what I've really appreciated. My guest tonight has been the Tirana Assistant Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, Marjorie Rawl, and talking about this amazing exhibition, The Big Picture, Giant Photographs and Powerful Portfolios, on view September 26, 2020 to June 6, 2021. Marjorie, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.